Time to head off to the world beyond the headlines now. Peter Dykstra is our guide. He's with Environmental Health News, that's EHN.org, and thedailyclimate.org, and joins us on the line from Conyers, Georgia. Hi there, Peter.
Hi, Steve. You know, let me bring you a couple of items about climate denial. One involves a tenacious journalist, the other one, a science website. You know, we've spoken a lot about how the U.S. coal industry is having the worst of financial times. Last month, a coal giant, Alpha Natural Resources, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And when you do that, there's a lot of paperwork. An investigative reporter named Li Fong at the online publication The Intercept dug through that bankruptcy filing, and you'll never guess what he found.
Well, do tell.
In a Chapter 11 filing, you have to disclose all of the people and businesses you have financial ties with. And Alpha was apparently doing business with a fellow named Chris Horner. He's a Washington political operative and attorney and a staunch climate denier who's gained fame for himself by hounding climate scientists with massive Freedom of Information Act requests and calls for investigations of their research. Another name on Alpha's financial list is the law firm where Horner is a senior attorney. Neither Horner nor Alpha are commenting, and the bankruptcy papers don't go into detail on how much money changes hands, but many climate scientists are enjoying the revelation of something they've long suspected. Their serial harasser is at least partially powered by coal.
Fossil-fueled FOIAs. Well, let's move on to that science website you mentioned.
So Barack Obama is the first U.S. president to set foot on the soggy permafrost and shaky ice of the Arctic while in office. And we're at the time of year when the Arctic always gets a little extra attention for climate change anyway. September 15th is the traditional date when ice cover in the Arctic Ocean reaches its lowest levels before the winter freeze sets in.
And I guess this year continues the overall trend of declining sea ice.
It does. And while some years are not as bad as others, the trend is undeniable, which of course does not stop some people from denying it. So if your uncle or your neighbor or your local member of the House Science Committee says the Arctic's not melting, take them to the website called Cryosphere Today. It's run by the Arctic Program at the University of Illinois, and they have an image of Arctic ice coverage for every day back to 1979, and they lay them out in before and after mode. So if you want to compare the amount of Arctic ice in September 1979 to this September, here you go. Tell them how to find that website, Steve Kerwood.
So you can link to those before and after ice images or see a recent one at loe.org. And by the way, that's where you can see more about these stories that Peter's highlighting. And Peter, before you go, let's get a lesson in environmental history. What do you got?
Ever wonder how we got the word tree hugger? It's one of those names whose meaning varies depending on who's using it. If you think there's too much environmental regulation, tree hugger's an insult. If you work to save forests, it's high praise. And for most of the rest of the world, tree hugger is kind of a dismissive stereotype. But September 9th, 1730 is the date that historians record the first interspecies hug between humans and trees.
Tell us more and keep it clean, please.
285 years ago, in what's now the Indian state of Rajasthan, which literally means the land of kings, a sect called the Bishnois were nature worshippers who literally became tree huggers, and it didn't go well. As the story goes, one of those kings, a Raja, sent soldiers to cut down Kejarli trees to help build a new palace, but the trees were sacred to the Bishnois. Amrita Devi, a Bishnoi woman, stepped forward to stop the soldiers, wrapped her arms around a tree, and said they'd have to kill her to get at the tree.
And they did?
I'm afraid so, and they didn't stop there. Amrita's three daughters stepped forward to save the trees, and it didn't stop there either. In all, 363 Bishnois gave their lives by hugging trees. So the next time you toss around the word tree hugger, remember that it has deep, noble, and very tragic roots.
Boy, what a price for environmental protection. Peter Dykstra is with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and thedailyclimate.org. Talk to you next time. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot, Steve. Talk to you soon.